The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
What we want to do on The Hard Shoulder over the coming weeks between now and December is drill down into some of the specific issues. For example, I've been talking about the electricity market, which is one island market north and south, and the interconnector and the consequences of a hard crash out Brexit. But another area affected is, of course, the aviation sector. Now, in the context of a doomsday scenario, no deal Brexit, there was a conference held today, and one of the speakers joins me now. I'm referring to the former Commissioner for Aviation Regulation. Cathal Guillaumard is Assistant Professor of Aviation Management at DCU, and everything you ever wanted to know about airspace and aviation international law, he's your man. Welcome to the programme, Cathal. First of all, what was the theme and the detail of what you told the conference today?
Well, we held a conference under the auspices of the Brexit Institute, which DCU has, and one of the parts of its work is to take each sector and look at what the effects might be. So this afternoon we were talking about aviation. There are far more rules and regulations in aviation than even people in the industry have quite realised. And if they're all to be put aside now with Britain's departure, at least as regards the relationship between aviation, between continental Europe and Ireland and the UK, there will be a lot that will need to be replaced in order for aviation to be put back as the state as it was. So we had a speaker from Dublin Airport who talked about the possible implications for the airport. We had a speaker from the regulator's office who spoke about the licensing of airlines. I was looking at the safety side. And then we had a general discussion about other implications, for instance, for manufacturing.
Is there a European blue skies deal for which if you unpick it and take Britain out of that, what would happen in relation to that?
Well, the principle on which international aviation is organised goes back to the end of the Second World War. There wasn't too much aviation then, so it was possible to organise it this way. And it's organised on a bilateral principle. In other words, no aircraft may leave its own jurisdiction at all without the permission of the corresponding government. And then an air services agreement is reached to say my planes can fly to your country, yours can fly to mine. At least certain airlines can, to certain destinations only. So that's the history. For the European Union now, since the aviation market for the European Union was created over the course of the 1990s, the whole of Europe, European Union, is treated as a domestic market.
One market.
One single domestic
including
market.
Including UK airspace.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what happens if they're out?
What happens if they're out is that the one market shrinks. Everything within the one market carries on as before, at least for airlines that continue as European Union airlines, because most British airlines may not. But the issue is that is flights into and out of the UK from all the various countries in the European Union.
But a Ryanair or Aer Lingus flight going from here to Brussels has to fly over British airspace. What will happen on the 29th of March if there's a crash out deal?
Okay, so there's two things there. There's the I mean, provided Ryanair continues to be an EU airline, and the problem there is that Britons will stop being European Union citizens. There's a rule which says that to be a European Union airline, half of your shareholders must be EU citizens. You can have airlines that today satisfy that, IAG, Ryanair and whatever else, all the various British airlines. But the British part of their shareholding will switch and a good many of them are going to fall below 50%.
Then what?
Well, then they're not eligible to take advantage of the agreements that were there before. Which means their flights, on the face of
it, are grounded.
Are grounded unless some replacement deal is made in the meantime.
Which could take a long time to negotiate.
It will take a long time.
So back in the time of the referendum campaign in 2016, Michael O'Leary said there was a real danger that the planes would stop flying. And everyone said that it was alarmist nonsense and typical Irish interference in a British internal debate. Was he right?
Oh, he was completely right. On the face of it, that is exactly what will happen. But at the same time, it's inconceivable that the vast number of flights that take place in and out of Britain two European Union member states, the present day could come to a halt. So there's just a general
But you faith. See, we have a special deal, as announced last night, with the that the common travel area will continue between Ireland and Britain. So if the Dublin-London situation, would that not be governed by common travel?
No, no. Common travel is from the era of surface travel.
Are you joking me?
No, absolutely.
The common travel is only for if you're travelling by sea.
The common travel means that if you show up...
Travel is travel.
The common travel means that if you show up at a, for instance, at a British airport, you have an entitlement to enter Britain. But if the flights aren't flying, you're not going to be showing up at the airport.
Ah. So you have the right, but there's no capacity.
But the equipment to bring
okay.
you or whatever.
You were saying there's a safety thing that you were speaking about. Common safety.
I will add one thing. Last week, the authorities in Brussels issued a short note, and they said that to prevent a standstill on flights of the kind we've spoken about, Brussels was willing to make an agreement with Britain about point-to-point services. That's to say, for defined services, they would agree to them continuing, provided Britain agreed to do the same thing at their end.
So there is a contingency plan.
Well, as of a few days back, there is a potential contingency plan if accepted by Britain, and you'd have to suppose that it would be. But it mightn't involve the scale of services that prevails today.
So paint the picture.
Well, I mean, people are only exploring now what that might mean, but...
Well, they want to hurry up. I mean, like, it's 2 years since the vote.
Yes, but you see, the whole problem with Brexit is that all this work needs to be done in aviation and in agriculture and in finance and in fisheries and in all the other areas. So if it was one sector, people would be well able to hurry up, but they just can't juggle all the balls together.
And what do you think will happen?
Oh, I think in the end, aviation will get special treatment because it's a kind of an appalling vista otherwise.
And are there, if this is principally to do with the shareholding base of members, how do you actually, like if you take a company, a hedge fund, that might own 4% of a shareholding base, what nationality does that have? I mean, surely that in itself, it seems pretty, like if you said their registered head office is in Dublin, is part of the EU, it's in Stansted, it's not part of the EU, I don't understand. Like that shareholding thing sounds absolutely Byzantine.
Well, of course it is. It dates from a time when most airlines were government-owned airlines and there was no doubt about the nationality. You know, it dates from 1946 or thereabouts, but just hasn't been adequately updated since then. But it's a mistake to think that the shareholding is the only restriction because the head office is also a criterion and there are many others besides.
One final quick question. Ireland joining Schengen, in terms of... Britain and Ireland are not part of the Schengen Agreement.
Yes.
Do you think if Britain moves out, we should consider joining the Schengen Agreement?
Well, I think nothing will actually change there because if the common travel area is retained, which the plan is that it would be, then we will face the conflict we've faced all along from the beginning of Schengen, which is there a way in which if Britain is not going to join, and of course that's even less likely once it's out of the European Union, how can we try and maintain the links that we have in Britain without too many passport controls and the rest of it, while availing of what's available on the continent? So maybe the balance between those, the judgment of which of those we want to have will change over time in favour of Schengen. But at the moment, the decision has been to keep the British travel rights and sacrifice the Schengen rights.
Well, glad we cleared that up. A veritable hornet's nest in the aviation sector if there's a crash out. My thanks to Cathal Guillaumar, a lecturer in aviation at Dublin City University.